This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
It's a historic day today, isn't it? Some of you, I was reflecting this morning, you're freshmen, you were probably in kindergarten when 9/11 happened, and those planes ran into the Twin Towers. And others of you, maybe you were older, but we look back and we say, God, we realize, I think all of us, as we watch what happened that day, we sense, Lord, we need You. We're dependent on You as a nation, as a people, individually. We want to talk about that today, both this morning and this afternoon. I want to tell you just a quick story of two different people. You'll recognize the story after I tell you, but the first person is in a group one evening. In the moonlight, they're around a fire, and this person's a Christian, but they're with a group of people who are not. And in the course of conversation, one of the people asks this Christian, they say, hey, you're a follower of Christ, right? And the Christian, with fear, insecurity, says, no, I'm not, and they... 7-8 weeks later, that same person is standing up before thousands of people and at the risk of his life is proclaiming who Jesus Christ is and how He's impacted our lives and how He's secured our forgiveness. I'm talking about what character in the early church? Peter. So he cannot speak to a young girl and stand up for Christ, and then just 60 days later, at the most, he's standing up in front of a huge crowd proclaiming Christ. The question is, what took place between those two events? How did Peter change from being that kind of a guy, insecure, sort of his life dictated by what people thought about him, to the extent that he could say, man, here I am, and this is who I am. And this is who Jesus Christ is. What made the difference? Something happens in Acts 2, doesn't it? That changes Peter. That Peter is filled with the treasure of Jesus Christ so that he could say, we have this treasure in jars of clay, right? Peter looked like the same guy. He hadn't changed. He didn't take a course on how to win friends and influence people or how to be confident in your, you know, speak. Public speaking or something like that. There was something that happened to Peter on the inside. The question is, has that happened to us? One of the things I loved about CIU, still love, when I was a student was something we talked about. It's one of your five core values here, victorious Christian living. You know what it says on the website about that for CIU? Let me just read you what it says here, just a portion of that. Victorious Christian living, we emphasize not only academic excellence, but also personal growth, the dynamic of the Holy Spirit to make us like Christ in daily living. The Spirit works out the Bible through the heart of every Christian who yields to Him. A little bit later, Scripture defines what God wills for His children. The Spirit is how the child of God enters into the joy, peace, and power of God's goodwill. I read that and I go, God, that's what I want to experience. How can I experience more of the Spirit's influence in my life? You know, I speak now as a pastor, a dad, a husband, you know, but in my public ministry, I realize there's a lot of things I can go through, the motions, I can show up, I can, you know, go to a funeral, I can be by someone's bedside, I can lead an elders meeting, but I can do all those things, but I can do it like Peter here, or I can do it like Peter over there. The question is, do I do it with the sense of the treasure within me and that Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, is transforming me and empowering me to do what I do? Here'd be a question you can ask, take inventory. How is your life different because of the power of the Holy Spirit today. If the Holy Spirit were to be removed from your life, would you notice a difference? Would other people notice a difference about you? Is there something about you that can only be described because of the treasure who lives within, Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit? Are you one that you say, man, I love people who are difficult to love. I overcome temptation, you know, that I'm able to speak boldly. I step out of my comfort zone. I give like I would never have given before in terms of generosity. There's something about my life, my prayer life, that can only be described and explained by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's victorious Christian living. And it's something that we say, God, that's what we want. We don't want it to be a value alone on some stone out here, you know, on campus, and we walk by and we go, yeah, that's one of our core values. But Lord, we want that to be core to me. I want that to be who I am. So how does that work out? There are three words that I think, can define that relationship. For me, anyhow, this has been really helpful to say three words that, and you might call them conditions or qualifications, they're not difficult, they're not for just the super spiritual. There's something that you and I can experience, put into practice today, three words that have really helped me. And the first two are spoken by Jesus, and the third one by Peter. And so I would like us to look at those words. You're welcome just to write these down here, because I think that for all of us, these words from Scripture can help to guide us into experiencing the victorious Christian life in a way that we say, okay, God, that's what I want. That's how I want to live. So the first word is in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, Jesus is speaking at the feast, and a huge crowd of people. He makes an incredible invitation to all of us, inviting us to experience the Holy Spirit's influence and activity in our lives. So here's what he says. If you drop down to John chapter 7, verse 37, it's the last and greatest day of the feast, John tells us. And he says that Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The first word is thirst. Qualification for having the Spirit at work in my life, Jesus says, is anyone thirsty? Are you thirsty for more of me? You know, it's a tougher concept for us Americans to comprehend, because we live in a way that 100 years ago, you know, we just go to a faucet and just turn a little knob and pure water comes out, and we take that for granted. But some of you have been on a missions trip maybe to West Africa, and you know that before you drink the water, it's got to be, you know, purified, and it's not just in, or you've maybe been in a place, my wife and I, maybe you've had an experience like this. We hiked in Yellowstone years ago, and we were intending to take a 12-mile hike one day, and so we took a lunch with us in my little backpack and, you know, some bottles of water. But as we're walking on this supposedly 12-mile hike, somewhere along the way we got off the path. And if you've been to Yellowstone, you know it's like the size of Rhode Island. I mean, it's huge. Like, you get lost for weeks. People have died there. It's just they can't find their way. So we get lost, and what was supposed to be a 12-mile hike turned into about a 20-mile hike. And it was a blistering sun, and we're getting just fried in our skin. I mean, And I'm trying to act kind of like, yeah, I think you just go a little bit further here. And I've never been there before. I have no idea. We couldn't hear a car. We couldn't find anything. I'm starting to get, like, really nervous. But one of the things is that we had run out of water. Like, we thought it was a 12-mile hike, so we sort of rationed out our water, and we had run out of water miles before. Finally, we're on this hike and we hear this car and I'm like, we've got to find that, where that car, like, where's that road? We got to find that road. We finally found this road and we're hitchhiking. Finally, I begged somebody, you got to give us a ride. But man, when we finally got to a place where we could get water, thirsty. And I said, I don't know if I've ever been this thirsty. I'm desperate for water. Jesus is saying, is anyone thirsty? You know, people have experienced, you read through the scriptures, experienced the power of God. We're thirsty for God. You read a psalm like Psalm 63 where David says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 84. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Thirsty. Jesus says, come to me, find your sense of purpose and joy, meaning me, and you will experience the Holy Spirit's life within you. Again, John 7, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit. So here's my question. Are you thirsty today? So I've been here this week. I sense the thirstiness on this campus. I've interacted with a number of you, and I say, there's a thirst for God. But you might look around and say, you know, and I look at other people around here, they're more thirsty than I am. My thirst has been dulled. I don't really hunger for God. You know, a step for you today. I'm going to give you a chance to respond at the end here. But something you could pray today is, God, would you make me thirsty for you? God, make me thirsty. First word, thirst. Second word is in Luke 11. If you turn back to the Gospel of Luke, again, Jesus is speaking, this time teaching his disciples about prayer. And he wants them to know that he says, I'm inviting you to come to a father who loves to give. You don't have a capricious, you know, stingy father. If you ever think of your father in heaven in that way, Jesus, I just want you to be convinced that you have a father in heaven who loves to show kindness and mercy. I read Psalm 145, that he's near to all who call on him in truth. How does Jesus say that in Luke chapter 11? Luke 11, verse 11. Here's what he says. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who, what? Ask him. Second word is ask. That's what Jesus says. Listen to his logic. He's saying, if you parents, those of you who are parents here, some of you in the room, are willing to give good gifts to your children. And he says, let's be honest, you have an evil streak running within you. If you're willing to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who's perfect, give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more? My son, when he, my little guy is 12 now, is a sports fanatic. And so we connect over sports. And so a few years ago, he said, Dad, can we get some bases for our backyard? We've got a backyard. It's not real big, but he says, we got a backyard that, you know, I think it'd be a great place for all the kids in the neighborhood to play baseball. What did I say? Man, I'm a dad. I love to give gifts to my children, right? I knew we were going to wear base pads in the grass. I knew our house was, balls going to hit the house. They're going to go in the neighbor's yard. I said, absolutely, let's get some bases. Let's make it a baseball field back here. He says, if you, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. He's saying, do you see? I mean, if you love to give to your children like that, how much more if you ask? telling us about the character, the heart of our Father. You might say, well, don't we get the Holy Spirit the day that we invite Christ into our lives? Yes, we do. I mean, we probably have a lot of different theologies of the Holy Spirit here, but I want to come back still to this word and say, if we want to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us, you might say, we have the treasure, but why do some people, the treasure is so displayed, manifested, and other people, it seems there's not really much change that occurs in their life. Ask, Father, may your Spirit fill me and just flow through me. God, I want my life to be explainable only by the dynamic of your Spirit who lives within. He says, are you thirsty? He says, ask, ask. And then there's another word here. I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And this is Peter. You know, this is not long after Peter has experienced the dynamic of the Holy Spirit in his own life. This one who had, you know, Jesus, you think of how the opportunities Jesus gave to Peter. Peter is, when he's at the fire, it doesn't just happen one time, it happens three times, right? And it's not something that should have taken Peter by surprise, because Peter was told by Jesus just hours prior, when Peter goes, oh Lord, other people may deny you, I will never deny you. And Jesus says, oh, before the rooster crows, three times. Peter knew. What happened? So he experiences this transformation of the Holy Spirit within. And Peter speaks here in Acts chapter 5. And here's what he says in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. He says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. I think we could say it this way. The filling of the Holy Spirit is in direct correlation to the level of my obedience. High obedience, high spirit fullness. Low spirit fullness correlates to low obedience. It's sort of like having this pipeline, you know, that I've, you know, if the Spirit of God wants to flow through me, and I begin to have this junk and dirt and clogged with, like, you know, the just because of sin, that the Holy Spirit is limited from what he can do through me. Peter says there's something about obedience in this relationship with the Holy Spirit in my life. I have a friend who presses on this area of obedience and integrity, and he puts it this way. He talks about being in a position of blessability. He says, are you blessable? I mean, he goes back to Psalm 84, where the psalmist says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So God longs to give to those who are upright in heart, who walk with integrity. My friend says, are you living in a blessable position? Is there anything in your life that would cause God to not give because you're not walking uprightly? You're not in a blessable position. I wonder in my life and yours, is there any activity, any possession, any bitterness, something that today you would say that probably threatens victorious Christian living for me? Because if high obedience correlates with high spirit fullness, my high obedience is not there. What would it look like for you to dial up obedience, to dial up integrity, so that you can experience greater fullness? You know, there's advice I give to couples who are getting married. I say, you know, now you want your relationship to be as healthy as possible. No threat of, you know, anything that would sort of dig at the commitment that you have for one another. So I want to encourage you to get rid of anything that would weaken that bond. And so I think, my own personal opinion, any pictures of old girlfriends, old boyfriends, the pictures got to be gone. Gifts that were given by someone else that was someone you had a romantic attachment with, got to be gone. I don't care how much you like that piece of jewelry, that shirt, whatever, it's got to go. Letters that were written from that person, ditch them. Why? If someone goes, oh my, why would I do that? That person was really, do you really love this person? Do you love them to the extent that anything that would threaten that relationship, you'll say has got to be gone? How much more in my relationship with Christ that I'd say, Jesus, I want you to be so at home in me. Not like welcomed as a guest, not, but you are the owner of this house. I am your temple. I don't belong to me. So Jesus, anything that threatens you feeling welcomed inside of me, Lord, will go. Will go. Obey. Obey. You know, I love the way Paul says it in Galatians chapter 5. He says, if we are now living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Obey. That means that in my, it's not just when I'm having my devotion, but when he says every part of my life, that means in my eating, my home, the way I study, my leisure time, my relationships, what I watch, you know, on Netflix or Hulu or TV or whatever, you know, the way, every aspect, my finances, do I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in every area of my life? Obedience, blessability, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. So, there are the three words: thirst, ask, obey. I want to give us an opportunity to respond here. I know we have some additional time, and I'm going to do what is a miracle for most preachers and end a little bit early. And people in my church would be very proud of me today. You know that they have a clock for the speaker up here that begins going down at 10 minutes and all of a sudden it starts winding down. And they told me if I go to the very end, there's a trap door up here and just opens up and I go down inside here. So I want to wrap up here, but I want to ask these questions. Am I thirsty for more of God in my life? I want you to take inventory for a moment. Are you thirsty for God? Do you want more of Him in your life? Secondly, when's the last time that you've asked Him, Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to fill me up. Father in heaven, may your Son Jesus be so free to work in me. Are you ready to ask Him that today? And then, obedience. Am I willing to surrender every area in obedience to Christ? Friends, our prayer today can start off in this prayer day. Lord, we don't want to be those who just gain academic degrees. We don't want to simply make friends. We don't want to just, Lord, we want more of you. We want you to be present, active, influencing every part of our lives. So I'm going to close, and I'm going to give an opportunity here for you to say, that's me. That's me. I want to be more thirsty. I want to ask Him to have greater influence in my life. Or there's an area where I'm saying, Lord, I want to surrender in a new way to be obedient to you. If one of those today you say, Lord, that's me, I'm going to invite you just to stand right now in your place. to say, I'm thirsty. I want to be thirsty for more. God, I want to ask you in a fresh way. Lord, I want to be one who's obedient to you and to dial that up. Would you just stand? If that's you, would you stand where you are? I want to pray for you today. Thank you. Thank you. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, you see our hearts. You know what's going on inside for each one of us. Those standing, those sitting, Lord, you know where the battle is taking place, that the enemy wants to keep us down. But Lord, you have a desire for so much more for us. You want our lives to be explainable only because of the treasure within. So, Lord, you know for each one of us what it is today. Lord, for those who are asking for greater thirst, Lord, give them a deep hunger for you. May they find that there's a thirst for you, for your word, for time with you like never before. Lord, some are saying, I want to ask. I really want that Jesus, that your Spirit would have greater influence in me. Lord, give me a greater measure of your fullness. Lord, grant that prayer for them today. And then, Lord, you know where each one of us find that pressure point of temptation, where obedience is the greatest challenge. Lord, today I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will help us to find the way out of temptation that you promise, that way of escape. And Lord, that you will allow us to dial up obedience in a way that will invite greater influence and fullness by your Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would do something even today on this campus that will be explainable only because of the activity of your Holy Spirit. Lord, do it today, do it this year. And Lord, I ask that there would be something that people would say, do you know what's happening at Columbia International University? And Lord, that there would be a fire that would spread far and wide, and that you would use everyone in this room to be your ambassadors wherever you take them, Lord, here and around the world, to be those who take your life, your gospel, to those who so desperately need to hear, but also to see lives transformed. Lord, we offer ourselves to you in your powerful name. And everyone said, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.